to the Daily Regrounding Podcast, a space where together we can step into and steep in the natural world around us. Through interviews with experts in life, health, and business, as well as some solo regrounding riffs, we'll create mindful moments and deep breaths, allow for perspective and pause, and ultimately feel more connected and deeply content. I am your host, Meredith Ewenson. Let's dive in. All right, welcome back to the podcast. I am very excited to chat today with Courtney Hamill. She is a Southern California-based content creator and yoga teacher living out of her self-converted camper van with her fiance, Nate, and I'm going to add extremely cute, amazing, and talented dog, Tompkins. She shares her travels and passion for wellness across social media. Instagram is where I found you. So welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited.
Yeah. Yeah. So as I mentioned, I found you through Instagram. And why I really enjoy following you is because I feel like you obviously post very beautiful content, but also I feel like I'm able to connect with you as a human, where, you know, there's so many accounts out there that I feel like are very aspirational and very inspirational, and there's nothing wrong with that. I follow those too. But I feel like you have the ability to connect with people like person to person. Is that something that is intentional for you? Is that something that just comes natural to you?
Yeah. Well, thank you for saying that. I really appreciate it because it's definitely something that obviously I think everyone wants to get on and be their most genuine and authentic self. I feel like that's probably everyone's intention. And even with myself and the things that I share, like it's really easy to just share the good things and make things look beautiful. And I love that aspect of it. I love to curate. I love to post, you know, beautiful photos and or photos that I think are beautiful and things like that. But I think I also really like to just share what feels genuine to me. I never try to force authenticity. Like I don't come on and just talk about things just to try to be more real. It's more like just whatever I feel called to. But I definitely feel like I'm always trying to balance that out, like the aspirational and the more curated things with the more real life stuff. And I don't know, I love Instagram stories because I feel like I can really connect with people in that way more. And that's definitely like my favorite way to share because I feel it's so hard to just like be who you are in one square photo on a grid. You know, somebody will come to your page not knowing who you are for the first time and make a whole judgment based off of just the little square images that they see. And that's something that I really don't like about social media is just the quick judgments that people make without knowing really what's going on. So that's what I love about stories. You can really kind of connect and share a little bit more vulnerably and kind of lay it all out there. So
yeah. Yeah. And I think you kind of hit it. Like, I agree that I think people do try to be themselves and authentic, but I think sometimes it's in the trying that people get a little bit lost or they try to format it in a way that isn't natural to them. Either overdoing it or underdoing it, or like, it just ends up, you can just feel that you're like, I know you're a good person, but it doesn't feel congruent with who I'm hearing speak to me right now. So yeah, I feel like that's something that, is really, I think a lot of people struggle with. And I think, as I mentioned, I feel like it's something that to me feels very natural the way you communicate through social media, which as you said, is just sort of like your experience as it's happening. Do you feel like, so now that we're talking about social media a little bit, it's so easy to overdo it or wonder, am I telling too much? Or do I feel like I'm kind of like spilling my guts here? And is like, where do you draw the boundary with what's kind of yours and what you share online? How do you navigate that? Cause I feel like that's a really tough one.
Totally. As much as I do share, about certain things, there's so much that I don't share. I mean, so many things, like personal things, things involving other people. I really keep those things off social media. If it's about my family, about my friends, I really don't go into those kind of things because that, you know, involves people other than me. So that's a pretty hard line that I draw. And I don't know, I think there are some personal things that I've shared, but those things just feel like I get this urge, like I have to share this. I really want to get on and talk about this. And that's really the only time I do it, is when I'm really feeling called to just like get on and share. But there's so many things that go on behind the scenes that are just, I don't feel the need to go on. I don't, maybe don't feel that it would be relatable for most people. I don't feel, yeah, I just don't really feel like I need to get on and share every little detail. It's kind of just when I feel that urge to, I do. So I don't really put a lot of thought into it. Like, should I share this or should I not? It just really comes to me and I just kind of put it out there.
Yeah. And to back up a little bit to the van, you're in the van now. So yeah. Southern California, I'm not going to ask you for your GPS coordinates of where you are right now, but tell us a little bit about the story of how you guys got to living in the van, because from what I've followed from you guys, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like it was in a lot of ways for a lot of practical reasons. Like it was something that felt like it made sense financially. It was something that was just right for you at that time. And you guys have really come to love it. And from that, your business, creating content on social media, has evolved from there. Is that true? Will you tell us a little bit about what was the idea? Was there a light bulb moment? What happened? How did you end up getting the van? And tell us that story.
Yeah. So it's been 3 years now. We've been full-time in our van. Back then, you know, there were people doing it. I mean, there's been people doing it for ages, but it wasn't quite as popular as it is now. But there were a couple people that I saw doing it and thought that was really cool. And it was just kind of a dream or an idea for a little bit. And Nate and I, my fiance, we were just, you know, working, paying for our apartment, and kind of felt like we were at a dead end, just kind of stuck in a place where we were happy and just doing our thing and had a good amount of freedom with our jobs, but we felt like we weren't really going anywhere else, and we weren't saving. We weren't, you know, really planning for the future. It was kind of just getting by. And so the van idea just seemed like something fun and that could potentially be a good idea financially down the road. I think there's a misconception that if you just move into a van, you're automatically going to be saving a bunch of money and you'll be better off. That isn't always the case. And it definitely took us quite a while to get to the point we are now, because the initial upfront cost, you know, we had to be working to pay for the whole build. It's essentially a tiny house. Like, we have everything we need in here. We have running water, a water heater, a little bathroom. So, you know, it took time for us to save up enough money to actually build it out. And we were actually living in it while we built it, so that we could save that money that we would have been paying in rent. We essentially put all that money to our build. So there's a lot of logistics to it. And it took quite a long time for us to get to the point where we were fully out of debt, and actually to the point where we were saving money. So yeah, I think we just kind of thought, we're not really going anywhere at this point. We don't have a plan for the future. So why not try this now when we really have nothing to lose? Didn't really feel like there was a huge risk involved, because if we ended up hating it, we could just sell it and potentially make a little bit of money. So yeah, we kind of just decided to go for it. And we've really, really loved it so far.
And I think for a lot of people, the idea anyway of van life can feel like freedom and adventure. And I'm sure those are totally things that, you know, are accurate for you. Like, what are some things that van life makes possible that you wouldn't have experienced, that wouldn't be your reality, that just wouldn't be the way you live if you, you know, were still in an apartment or living in a house?
I think just the mobility of it. When we were living in our apartment, I was always feeling antsy, like I wanted to go somewhere, not necessarily on a big vacation or anywhere too far, but just kind of like get out of town for a day or two, have a change of scenery. And that's my favorite thing about the van, is I like to go to different places, even if we're just in Southern California, going from San Diego to Orange County to LA, just kind of like jumping around every once in a while to get a change of scenery. I think that's my favorite thing about it. We can live in San Diego for a little bit. We can live in Orange County for a little bit. And also, I think it just really gets you out of your comfort zone and forces you. For me, it's forced me to be more organized, for one. There's no leaving clothes on the ground. There's no leaving dishes in the sink, for us at least. I'm a really messy person by nature, so it's kind of made me have to be clean, which I think is good for me. And, you know, we're always out and about, you know, we always get to see the sun go down because we're automatically out, versus if we were still in a house or an apartment, it's like you have to make a trip out to the beach, but we're just always there. So it's stuff like that's kind of cool. You're just naturally more active and doing things. When we had our apartment, there would be days where we just spend the whole entire day watching TV on the couch, which is really nice and something that I do miss. But with the van, I don't think we've ever done that. It's just not something that we really do, because we're always out and about doing things. So it just forces you to kind of get up and get out and do stuff. So
it's almost like you have multiple houses across the Southern California coast. How awesome is that? Is there a favorite spot that either you guys go to, you know, often, or of all of the travel you've done? Because I know you've done some kind of like not just West Coast, but West part of the the country, some other travel as well. Is there a specific place that you've loved the most, or a place that you continue to go back to that just really, that natural landscape just really resonates with you and you just love and feels really good to be there?
Yeah, I think that's, for us, is Southern California, which a lot of people may not agree, or they may not have, this may not be their favorite place, but for us, it kind of just feels like home, maybe because we lived here, Nate grew up here, so he has family here, and, you know, we used to work down here, so we just know where everything is. It feels very comfortable, and we love the ocean, so just being able to be by the water and kind of be, you know, around all of our favorite restaurants, all of our favorite stores. We like that stuff. We love nature too, but I think as much as I didn't think I was a city person, I'm realizing maybe I do like the city a little bit more than I would have thought. We got to go to Utah and Wyoming and Montana this summer, and it was amazing and beautiful, and we'll definitely get back out there. It's just the constant moving and going to new places that you've never been is where living in a van can get really taxing, in our experience at least, because you don't know where you're going to park. You don't know where you're going to get water. And for us here in Southern California, we know all those places. It's just like we're in a routine, so it's very easy. But being out there in Utah and places like that, it's so easy to find amazing places to camp, where you're allowed to be camped out for 14 days, or you just can have all your doors open and you don't have to move constantly. So there's pros and cons to both, but I feel like we just keep gravitating back towards Southern California.
Yeah. I feel like routine must be really important. You know, I mean, you said maybe you're like a little messier by nature, but I bet having things tidy and organized and having like a daily routine, do you feel like you kind of get up and do the same things and have it, even if you do move a little bit, do you have a similar daily routine?
Totally. Yeah. Since we do a lot of city parking, we like to get up first thing in the morning and just go to the beach, go to a place where we can have our doors open and kind of walk around outside, or just be in a little bit more of an open space. So we usually drive down to the beach every day and just have our morning routine type thing, tidy up the van, make our morning drinks, breakfast, and get our kind of plan for the day going. We definitely move around a lot, whether it's to go fill up our water tank or to go grocery shopping. We're running a lot of errands constantly, which is, I think it's challenging, more challenging than I even realize sometimes, but it's just kind of second nature. But yeah, every day looks different, but the same at the same time, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it does. And do you feel, even though you live in kind of consistency and routine as much as you can, do you feel like the way that you live also has helped you be maybe more like malleable or flexible in times where things don't kind of go as planned, or, you know, whether it's with the van actually or work stuff or, you know, other things? Like, do you feel like you have a better way of handling kind of changes or shifts that just kind of come your way?
Yeah, totally. I think I would have had to, because we've been doing this for so long, and it's not easy all the time, but we kind of just are in the routine of it. And we're lucky because we don't have a lot of things going wrong all the time, which can happen if you live in a van. You know, you can have things break down, you can have leaks and be out of power. We fortunately haven't had to deal with those things too much. And Nate, you know, he knows how to fix things. So it's, those things usually get solved pretty quickly. That can be where you run into a lot of trouble, is if things are constantly breaking. But yeah, our van did break down a couple years ago, and that was a whole situation, which was very stressful. But we got through it. And yeah, you do have to be flexible, because you never know what can happen, you know.
And what kind of things do you do to feel grounded and create a sense of home in a home that is mobile?
Yeah, well, our van really feels like our home. You know, we built it ourselves. We made it just how we wanted. It's very, very small, obviously, but it feels cozy and like home. But I think the biggest thing for me is just keeping things tidy and put away. If we have, like, it's kind of messy in here right now, and I definitely feel the tension. If even a couple things are out on the counter, it just feels like a lot. So just having space for everything and decluttering and downsizing when needed, making our bed every single day is huge. And just like starting with a clean slate is, I think, the most important thing for me, for my mental health and sanity in here.
Yeah. Do you have anything that's kind of like a, like, ridiculous guilty luxury that you just have in the van that, like, maybe most people who live in a van don't have, but you just have to have it? Like, I know you love your ceramics. I love ceramics too. I'm not saying that's a ridiculous luxury by any means, but like, what are some things that you have that just really help, make it feel like your personal home, you know, your space?
Yeah, I think things like that, having ceramics and a ton of glassware is so impractical for a van, but I just really I don't want it to feel like we live in a van. I want it to feel like this is our home and we have the things that we love in here. And so far it's been really easy. You know, I have all my clothes. I have a pretty big wardrobe and it's worked out. It fits. We have plants and just like a little bit of decorations and things that make it feel like a home. And those are the little touches that, I don't know, that I love. And I feel our van, we kind of think of it as like it's a suburban house, you know, like, versus some vans are really equipped for adventure and everything's really secure and they don't have a lot of breakables and, you know, they're able to go on 4x4 roads. That is not our van at all. It's kind of more just a suburban house, you know, like just stationary. We're not stationary, but, you know, we don't go off-roading all the time. And yeah, it's cozy.
You gotta know yourself, right? You gotta know yourself and the things that are important to you and that make you feel grounded and secure and good. And like you said, like, support your mental health, whatever that is. And for some people that might be like high efficiency minimalism. Like, do you consider yourself a minimalist or I mean, you live in a van, so by nature that's minimal, you know, a lot of people would say, but would you consider yourself a minimalist?
Honestly, no. That's not really a term I use a lot. I mean, yeah, by nature we probably are, but I don't think that that's in my DNA to be a minimalist. I think it's just kind of out of necessity, which is good for me because I have the tendency to just collect things or hold on to things when I don't need them. So I'm forced to get rid of things, but I think that I probably have more things in here than I even need, where if I really wanted to be a minimalist, I would just have those, that small amount of things that I use every single day and get rid of everything else. There's definitely things that I don't use often, but I make it work.
Yeah. And how, now living in a van, I know you've been in there for a few years now, but as a yoga teacher and someone who has a spiritual practice, a movement practice, how has that shifted living in the van? And do you feel like nature plays more of a role in that, since maybe some of that ends up being outside more? Or what does that look like for you right now?
Yeah. So the first year and a half that we lived in here, I was still teaching yoga like 4 days a week and going to classes and definitely more heavily involved. When we started traveling a little bit, and with the pandemic, of course, I stopped going to classes myself and I stopped teaching. So it's definitely been tough. I miss it a lot. And I try to get out and do my own things, you know, but I would be lying if I said that was easy. You know, there's not, we're in cities a lot, so it's not always areas where I can just do a full yoga class. So I try to get to classes when I can, but it's definitely not as easy as you'd think to get out and be in nature, at least where we are right now. But you have to really make it a priority.
Mm, yeah, definitely. I mean, with everything, right? Like, even if you got to still get outside, whether you're opening your van door or your house door, it's, you still need to take the action to like actually go step outside if that's where you feel like you need to be. Like, what are some practices for when you feel stressed out or ungrounded that help you relax and kind of like de-stress and come back to yourself? Like, what are some practices that help you with that?
Yeah, just getting off my phone. It would be anything off of my phone, off of social media would be enough to make me feel better. But aside from that, just taking a minute to just walk down to the beach, go for a walk by myself. Even when we walk our dog and stuff, it's still like a little bit stressful. So just doing things really by myself. I like to go up and sit on we have a little rooftop deck up there. I like to just go and sit there, especially if we're by the beach, even if it's just for a couple minutes and just have a moment. I'm just really involved in being online and it's really tough. So I think anything just not being on my phone is super helpful. Yeah. But yeah, I'm definitely still like trying to build those practices for myself at this point, because I feel like I haven't been doing the best at it, to be honest.
Yeah. It's so hard. It's so hard to get sucked in, and like, it's a never ending opportunity, connection, like rabbit holing. I mean, it's like, it's so hard not to, and especially when it's part of your work, to feel like you've done enough, you know?
Yeah. So,
the cart for nature as ceremony is open. You guys, when I tell you that I have been dreaming up this space and this program for over a year, I tell you, I mean it. And I am so excited to offer it starting April 6th. It's a 4-week live gathering for visionaries and creatives. It's an inward retreat to bring your genius into fruition by regrounding into your true nature. And I like to think of it as a cocoon to nurture your creativity. It'll be a ceremonial container where solitude and slowness are celebrated. And it's a seasonal space this spring to commune with nature to receive your clearest, most connected, creative downloads. And in union with an intimate community who values the same. I invite you to join me for Nature's Ceremony. The cart closes Thursday, March 31st, and you can learn more at meredithhewinson.com/natureasceremony.
I know you said you're working on it, but do you have any sort of ways that you create boundaries around like work time versus off the phone time? I mean, like you said, going up to the roof, I love that. I'm sure that is such a fun little spot. You just kind of feel like you're in your own world and people might not even notice you're up there. You could just be by yourself. How do you navigate creating boundaries with being online?
Yeah, I have not, to be completely honest.
I feel you.
The only times that I can really say that I'm fully off are times when I don't have service that I actually can't go on. I'm really trying to get better at it, but I can't say that I have. I think just setting a time in the evening to be like, I'm not going to be online from this time till bed is really important. And I just haven't established that yet. And in the mornings too, because I'll have content that needs to go up, that needs to go live, or things that I'm just trying to catch up on, emails that I have to respond to. So I've been very bad at setting boundaries for myself. And I think it's so, so important if you work for yourself to do that. And I'm a hypocrite by saying that because I don't do it, but I think like, I know that I need to, and for the longevity of it, it's so, so important.
Yeah. I feel like it's something that everyone's working on, and there's like phases even of times of the year or the season or throughout your life that I feel like, you know, it can kind of bog you down more than other times. So I think you're not alone whatsoever in those sentiments. I want to shift into creativity for a little bit, because I feel like you have such like a joyous, bright, fun vibe to you. You use a lot of color. I mean, right now I'm wearing a brown shirt. I mean, you're wearing a white shirt, but usually you're wearing tons of color. Like, so I'm super curious, where do you, you know, what inspires you? Is it where you live, you know, your local environment? And how do you balance your creativity? Like I know for me, I feel like a lot of creative people, it's sort of creativity comes in a wave. Like there's surges and flows and momentum, and you have a lot of energy towards something and a lot of ideas. And then sometimes it can actually feel really blank and like, almost like, where the hell did everything go? Like, where did the ideas go? What do I do now? And that can feel kind of like a panicky place sometimes, you know? And I feel like that's something that I've been sort of exploring and getting curious about right now, is like that blank space, that creative stasis of like, interesting. Like maybe this is here to refuel, to recharge, to absorb, to slow down, to be in my own practice. Like, do you feel creativity coming in waves for you? I know, you know, what you do is for work, so you have deadlines and that definitely plays into it too, but how does your like creativity work for you, and what does that process look like?
Yeah. Again, I feel like I'm so bad at setting boundaries with this, but like you said, it definitely does come in waves. There are times where I'm like, I have all these ideas. And I think this is for anyone who is a creative, like you have ideas, you're in the flow. And then there are times where it's just, you don't have it. And I think those are the times when you need to step back and tune into yourself and take advantage of that time to get out and, you know, do things that make you feel creative. And for me, of course, I don't do that. I try to force myself to figure it out and just like force things just to stay, try to keep the wheels turning. And I don't think that's a smart move, because you're going to burn yourself out. And I think I'm really getting to that point where I'm like burnt out, and I need to take that time to just go offline, stop looking at what other people are doing, stop getting so caught up in everything else, and really just do the things that I know make me feel alive. And I like listening to music and moving and doing active things makes me feel like I have ideas and I have, you know, things are flowing. And instead of just sitting there scrolling and trying to figure it out, I need to go and do those things instead, you know?
Yeah. Sometimes I feel like it's when like I remove myself from anything creative at all. And I'm doing the most mundane, random thing. In fact, I feel like I get most of my best ideas just walking, just on a random walk. It doesn't have to be anything special, just on a walk, or even a run. I don't really run that much, but when I do, I feel like it's almost like you're charging something up, you know, and things just kind of come to mind. So it's really interesting. I totally agree with you that sometimes it's when you're not trying that things kind of start coming into your head, and that's where the creativity sort of pops in when you least expect it sometimes.
Totally. For me, it's when I'm driving. Like Nate will drive a lot, but sometimes I'll be like, I really need to drive. Otherwise I'll just sit back here and scroll on my phone. And when I drive and listen to a good podcast or some music, I just feel all these thoughts come to my head that wouldn't otherwise if I was just on my phone consuming.
Yeah, that's a good point. Focusing on anything but the thing.
Yeah.
And help you make space, create space from the thing so that you have some perspective to allow for some creativity. Yeah, I definitely feel that. I was talking with someone recently and she was saying how like doing the dishes is when she gets her most creative downloads, just doing the dishes, nothing fancy. Totally. So creating content, how did that start for you as a business? Like, was that early on in your van build? Did it happen slowly over time? Like, would you share a little bit about how that started in that process?
Yeah. So I actually started my Instagram long, long before the van. I started it when I finished my yoga teacher training. I just wanted a place where I could share my teaching schedule. And then I also started sharing some recipes because I'm super into wellness and cooking and that kind of stuff. So I was sharing some recipes and some tips and things there. And it just kind of started to grow a little bit here and there, mostly with food kind of stuff. And I got a couple opportunities really, really early on to work with brands, like to develop recipes, and not making really any money for the amount of work I was doing. So it was really a slow progression over time of just like sharing recipes. I'd post every single day. I mean, most days, I don't go that many days without posting something, whether it be on stories or whatever. So that was probably 5 years ago I started my Instagram. And then when we did the van, people were interested in that, but it was mostly just health and wellness. And I was sharing some van things, like the whole build process and everything. And slowly people seemed a little bit more interested in that. And I started sharing more of that. And when we moved into the van, cooking these elaborate meals that were styled and all this became quite difficult. So I got lucky that people were interested in the van stuff. So just started sharing a little bit more of that. And then when the pandemic happened, so Nate and I both were doing valet at a restaurant, valet parking. So just, you know, working in the service industry, nothing fancy. And obviously we got laid off at the beginning of the pandemic. So we got really lucky that we were living in this van, because otherwise we would have had rent to pay and it would have been a lot more stressful than it ended up being. And I was making a little bit of money from Instagram and social media, but nothing that would sustain me, and let alone Nate as well. But through the pandemic, I just kept sharing, and my account, it grew and grew and grew. And, I started getting more opportunities. I signed with an agency, and they really are the ones who like changed everything for me. They bring me lots and lots of opportunities that are really in alignment with things that I would want to share. And it's been like, I mean, it's been like a life changer, honestly. And it's become, you know, kind of like a career, I guess. I don't know how long it's going to last. I'm not banking on, you know, being this way forever, which is why I'm trying to be smart about it. But yeah, it really just was a slow progression over the course of 5 years, and it kind of just took off in 2020. And now that's what I mostly do full time. And yeah, it kind of just happened at the perfect moment.
And do you have any when working with a brand or when your agency comes to you with some different ideas or options? Any like non-negotiables or sort of like things you look for? How do you negotiate like if you're going to work with someone or not, or what type of people that you do want to work with?
A non-negotiable would be that it has to be something that I keep in the van. That's basically my hard line. It has to be something that we're going to use in here. And whether it's, if it's food or something like that, obviously it has to be something that I'd actually eat. If it's a product, it needs to be, something I can fit in here and that works into our lifestyle. And it just needs to be, if it's a service, it needs to be a service that we actually use and something that's convenient. It just needs to be things that actually align with what we're doing. And I know everyone says this, but I am pretty picky with it. And I definitely have turned down some pretty large amounts of money, and it just is what it is. And I think just for the longevity of it, it's worth it. So,
Yeah, and I feel like, and I bet if you were to have said yes to whoever that, company is, do you feel like your followers would sniff it out right away and be like, she probably just got a lot of money for that one. Like, but then I don't know, maybe they'd be like, good for you. You know what I mean?
well, thank you. And that's something I think about too, with because people are really hard on content creators about ads and all of that. And I just think you never know where someone's coming from, what they have going on. And the fact that people turn down so much money in general is like, I feel, if you're an actor and you do a commercial, you don't necessarily need to be in alignment with that product. It's like, it's interesting when it becomes a personal brand. And I get it, because if you're recommending something, you want people to trust that you actually like it, and your endorsement is important. And I do take that seriously. And I think it's also a huge privilege to say, oh, I turned down money. Like, not everyone has that privilege to be able to just turn down money. So I think that it's interesting. It's a weird kind of thing, but I'm happy to stay, within the things that I actually love for now, and we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. So what's coming up next for you guys? I know you got a shop space, right? And a new van.
Yeah, so Nate, he is really loves building things and vans specifically. He kind of like got this passion for it when we did ours, and he's done two others since. And now we just bought a new one, and we were thinking about keeping it for ourselves, but now we're thinking we may sell it. We're not exactly sure yet. But yeah, he wants to, because since the pandemic, he's kind of been just helping me with my stuff, but he doesn't like being on social media. Our account is Court and Nate, but it's really just Court. Like, he does not post like at all. He's not really interested in doing all of that. So he really wants to be able to have his own thing. And so he's probably going to be building vans and just doing projects here and there, and hoping to maybe turn that into a little business for ourselves that can kind of just be more offline and not so reliant on people and social media. So yeah, that's kind of what we're working on figuring out and building up. And not we're so like fly by the seat of our pants. We really never know what we're doing. We kind of just go with the flow. But yeah, we're in San Diego now, and we'll be here for the next few months. We'll be traveling a little bit here and there, but mostly down here building this new van and just kind of seeing what happens.
Yeah, and I know you guys have on your website the you have a van build guide resource, and I think it's really cool that you have a map of all of the places that are sort of like endorsed by you as legit places, good places to go, whether it's a dump station or somewhere to eat or a shop or something like that. So I know you have those types of resources for the West Coast and stuff like that on your website. And maybe this van will be for sale. Who knows?
Yeah, it's very likely.
We must address Tompkins. My dog is around somewhere. She's probably sleeping in the other room. You have the cutest dog. Can you tell us about Tonkins? When did you get him? He grew up in the van, right? And any tips for like people? I know I don't live in a van, but I travel with my dog in the car. We're going camping and hiking this weekend. And it's always, now that I have a dog, I realize like there are some really important things to have for your dog when you're traveling, and also like training things and getting them used to certain things that are really important. What, tell us about Tonkins. What's his experience been like in the van, and give us all the details on him.
Yeah. He popped his head up. He's sleeping, but he popped his head up when you said his name. He's like, what you talking about me? he's a really funny guy. We got him. He was actually, they told us that he was 8 weeks old, but he was actually like 6 weeks old when we got him. So he came from kind of a bad situation and was a horrible, horrible puppy, a nightmare. He was just the worst, like never slept, constantly biting and attacking, just not pleasant. So basically we got him right when we finished the van build. He's lived in the van his whole life. He's very well acclimated, but we had to do a ton of training and really just like dig deep and figure out how we could help him live his best life, because he really struggled and we struggle with him. And he's still very high energy and has a really hard time controlling his, you know, his energy levels. But he's very smart. He's a lab Doberman. So he's got some of that working breed in him, and we've just done a ton of training with him, and he's really good. He's very friendly. He's great with other dogs now. And that's all just like from the training we did with him and just the exposure to the outside world that he's gotten because we live in the van has been, I think, so, so helpful. You know, he'll just sit on the back benches when we have the doors open and just watch people go by all day, other dogs go by all day. And I think he's just very comfortable in the world because he's always out in the world. And I think that was like a key like factor in his behavior. And it is hard, you know, having a larger dog in a van. We have to take him out constantly and he needs a ton of exercise. But those are just things that are kind of built into our routine, and it's totally doable and a great life for a dog if you're up for it. But it is takes a lot of accountability from the owner for sure.
Yeah. And I'm sure that Chuck It is your best friend when you need to burn some of his energy.
Oh yeah. He loves it. It was pretty cool. We actually got to work with them last year, which was such like a cool partnership. But yeah, we use the Chuck It every day. He freaks out and does jump spins when we take it out. So he's just so fun cute. Stuff like that.
How do you make his fur so shiny? He has the most beautiful fur ever. Or is it just like that? Is that just maybe his?
No, I think, I mean, yeah, he's a glowing boy for sure. But I think it is because of his diet, because when we first got him, when he was a puppy, he had some skin issues and some itchiness and some patchy skin or patchy fur. We feed him Open Farm, which is just like a really good brand for kibble. We would feed him, you know, a raw diet if we could, but with space, it's just not an option. But we do a lot of toppers. Like we'll put a raw egg on top of his food or goat's milk. Sometimes we'll do sardines, just the ones in water, just little extra nutrient dense things, bone broth, stuff like that. And I think all those things really help.
I haven't tried goat's milk yet for my dog. She'll eat anything. So I might have to give that a try. I've seen it before, but I haven't bought it. So I feel like
yeah, it's,
I haven't explored yet.
It's good stuff for sure.
So before we kind of wrap up here, I always end with a few rapid fire kind of nature inspired questions. Sunrise or sunset?
Sunset.
Underwater or on the ground?
Underwater, but I'm mostly on the ground.
Fair enough. Stargazing or sunbathing?
Sunbathing.
Colorful landscape or earth toned?
Colorful.
And the coast or the mountains?
Coast.
Nice. Well, thank you so much, Court. It was awesome to connect with you and have you on the podcast. And for people who want to connect with you, you're at Court and Nate on Instagram. Mm-hmm. Where else can people find you?
Yeah, so it's Court and Nate pretty much everywhere. Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and our website is courtandnate.com. That's where we have like tons of resources about van life, van building, and tons of other stuff. So yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. Great. Well, thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you.
The cart for nature as ceremony is open. You guys, when I tell you that I have been dreaming up this space and this program for over a year, I tell you, I mean it. And I am so excited to offer it starting April 6th. It's a 4-week live gathering for visionaries and creatives. It's an inward retreat to bring your genius into fruition by regrounding into your true nature. And I like to think of it as a cocoon to nurture your creativity. It'll be a ceremonial container where solitude and slowness are celebrated. And it's a seasonal space this spring to commune with nature to receive your clearest, most connected, creative downloads and in union with an intimate community who values the same. I invite you to join me for nature's ceremony. The cart closes Thursday, March 31st, and you can learn more at meredithewinson.com/nature-as-ceremony.
Thanks for joining me on this episode of the Daily Regrounding Podcast. If you loved it, I would be so grateful for you to rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes or wherever you're listening, as well as share with a friend. And if you want to work with me, you can go to my website, meredithewinson.com, and have a look at my current nature-inspired meditation, mindfulness, and movement offerings. I'd love for you to connect with me on Instagram, at meredithewinson. Thanks again for listening. And remember, with just one breath, one moment of awareness, or one step into nature, you can reground yourself.